New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on FAIR's website, fair.org. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thank you for listening to Counterspin.
Question of the day. How many honeybees are in a beehive? Answer, 55,000. But who's counting? Matt Willey, for one, a highly regarded mural artist. He's been commissioned during the past couple of decades to grace the walls of homes and businesses. And now he's asking you and me to commission 20 new murals by him in various cities, with each wall-size painting being different versions of a common theme, the good of the hive. In particular, these murals will include a total of 50,000 hand-painted honeybees. Willie was motivated by a brief encounter with a single honeybee a few years ago. The tiny creature was crawling slowly across his rug. She was dying, he says, and for some reason I hung out with her until she died. This wholly unexpected spiritual connection with a bee prompted him to do a bit of research, finding that when a honeybee realizes it's sick and could infect the hive, it immediately departs, flying away to die, and to protect the health of the interconnected bee family. Bees don't just live in a hive, they are an integral, functioning part of it. The pulsing hive itself is alive, an organic body nurtured by, and in turn nurturing, every bee in the community. It dawned on Matt that this natural truth applies to our human communities as well. When we connect, we thrive, he realized, leading him to launch the Good of the Hive mural project. Using art, social media, film, music, and discussions, he and a happy band of travelers will swarm into communities for several weeks each to, one, raise awareness about the unique importance as well as some special problems of bees, and two, connect people to our human hive and the essential need to work for the good of all. This is Jim Hightower saying, to connect with Matt, the project, honeybees, and the idea of our shared community, go to thegoodofthehive.com.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
Monday. Listen to Say Hey on KZFR, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, joined as always by Noobs.
How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Let me say happy Thanksgiving week.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving week.
Everybody out there.
Yeah. You got any big plans?
Probably just eat a lot of food and watch a lot of football.
I think that's a pretty good idea.
That's the usual.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. I had a good weekend. I had a wild weekend. My cousin was in town. How about you?
It was pretty mellow,
yeah,
actually. Yeah, I had a nice dinner downtown at my friend's new restaurant that she opened on Friday night.
Oh, right.
After a long hike in Bidwell with my doggy.
Beautiful.
And my lady friend, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was good.
Glad to hear it. Well, we got plenty to talk about because we are eagerly awaiting a historical possible moment tomorrow night in the NBA, which would be the Golden State Warriors beating the Lakers to go 16-0, which would be the greatest start in league history.
The anti-Sixers.
That's right. I don't even know where to start. They're 15-0.
It's unbelievable.
They've matched the 93-94 Rockets, who were obviously a great, great team, and the Washington Capitals of the 1948.
Oh yeah,
49.
Those Capitals.
Who could get those Capitals?
Yeah. interesting fact before we get started on the Warriors, real quick, though, I just learned today was that Rockets team, even though they went 22-1 to start, they weren't even the number one seed in the West that year.
Who was the number one seed in the West that year?
They didn't mention. I'm thinking it was probably like Phoenix or somebody like that.
Yeah, maybe it was. But those were Elijah
won. They won the championship.
Drexler. Yeah, those were great teams.
Yeah.
But
we would have loved to have seen them go up against Jordan's Bulls.
That's true. That would have been, because I think those Elijah Wan teams were even better than the Jazz.
No, absolutely. Those would have been the best two Western Conference representatives in that 8-year span.
Yep, agreed. And now the Warriors are sitting on the doorstep right now, and it's pretty incredible.
Well, and I love the fact that they get a chance to do it against LA.
I know.
That just is money.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain, I guess there's a sweetness when you beat the Clippers right now because they're relevant, but there's nothing like beating up on a Laker team, whether they're good or bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And this Laker team is, I mean, terrible. What's to like? They're awful. You've got Kobe at the waning point of his career when he shouldn't even be playing.
No.
Making his team worse.
Yeah, he was like 6 for 22 the other night.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically the least valuable player in the league. So to do against the Lakers is going to be really exciting. And it was an exciting week getting up to that point because the Clipper game in L.A., down 23 early, foul trouble for Curry and Draymond. It's like, okay, it's not their night. They're running to a tough team on the road. You know, they're going to drop one. They shave at the 14 at the half, and you're like, send me a message. You know, if they beat the Clippers, this would really be demoralizing, crushing. Yeah. And I was like, well, I don't know. It might not be their night. Nine points in the third quarter, and then they just run away down the stretch with a 22-5 run.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way that they can shoot the ball and the way that they play defense and get out in transition. Mm-hmm. It's like they can make up a lot of ground quickly. And, you know, the Clippers kind of have a tendency to implode.
Mm-hmm.
And Golden State's totally got their number right now.
Oh, yeah. And when Golden State goes small at the end, because of the type of players they have, mm-hmm. Draymond Green, who can D up on a center.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes is a big, agile guy. Nobody else can match that lineup when they're closing. Even if you want to stay big, they're going to run circles around you in terms of their scoring and the fact that they have athletic guys that can play defense even though they're smallish.
Yeah.
You know, you watched it in that Clipper game. Like, all of a sudden, here comes Harrison Barnes with a couple of threes, and here
Iguodala.
Saw it in the Bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bulls are a good team, and they played a good game, and the Warriors just ran away with it the last handful of minutes.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not about the Splash Brothers. I mean, it is, of course. But what I mean is, you can't just try and shut those guys down, and then just hope that everybody, like, okay, we'll have somebody else beat us, because everybody can hit threes on that team.
Yeah, and everybody can pass.
Yeah,
they move the ball so much.
It's really a thing of beauty.
In the other night in Denver, they wound up winning by somewhere around 20. The bench had 40 points.
It was 15, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the bench had 40 points.
Yeah.
Curry only had 19, and they won comfortably.
He didn't even play the fourth quarter.
It was basically fourth quarter garbage time. Mm-hmm. You know, they run out to this big lead, and they're the complete package. And it's exciting to watch. And there was a play against the Bulls. Curry turns the ball over. Noah grabs it. Curry runs back over and rips it out, mm-hmm. and then lost to Iguodala. So I want to play that highlight real quick because that was a fun play.
Curry tried to squeeze it between too many in the fifth turnover for Golden State. Curry takes it right back though. The lob to the rim and the throwdown. Oh, what a highlight! Curry to Iguodala.
And they're loving it at Oracle. And that is an expensive ticket for tomorrow night's game. And I checked up on it the other day. The cheapest one was like pushing 200. So,
right now, please.
Yeah, for anywhere in the gym. Right. So the Warriors are the most expensive ticket in the league right now. It's not even close. If you go to the Kings game and play Zach, every other Kings game surrounding the Warriors schedule you can get for like literally $10. It's for $29.
Wow.
So they're hard to see right now because you got some money to spend. But it's exciting to be a fan of the team, and even if you're not a fan, that they're a fun team to watch. They're an easy team to root for because they're to pumps. And curiously enough, you always hear other numbers come up when a team's about to do something this work. The most wins time, 71-72 Lakers, 33.
Hmm.
Second is the LeBron James Heat with 27.
Hmm.
So that's still a ways out there.
It's still a ways. Yeah, you know, you're talking about them being a fun team to watch. I heard a little tidbit that they actually had a higher rating for the TNT doubleheader, mm-hmm. that the late game got a higher rating.
Than the early game.
Yeah, and that's saying a lot because that's a 10:30 East Coast start.
Yeah, the game didn't even end until like 2 in the morning. Yeah,
so people are tuning in and staying up late to watch these guys.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. And, you know, I actually liked watching the Bulls game the other night just because I hadn't really gotten a chance to sit down and watch the Bulls much this season, but I think they're pretty legit.
I do too.
I think in the East, like, I don't know what you're going to get out of Rose, but that's a team that could contend possibly with, you know, obviously the Cavs are still the top dog, but the Bulls are no joke. That's a good team.
No, I agree. I think actually the East in general is a better conference than
it's been maybe in the last couple of years.
Definitely than it's been, and maybe even that I'd say you and I gave them credit for what they were going to be this year.
Right.
I mean, you look at them top to bottom. I mean, it's almost, I don't want to say it's comparable, especially not at the top, you know, but I'd say like, you know, in the middle of the range, even like lower, you know, 7-8 seed this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the West is kind of starting to fall off a little bit.
A little bit, because you've had a couple of teams like the Pelicans who were supposed to rise up and haven't done anything.
And that's not to take anything away from the Warriors.
No,
because they're beating all comers. And I'm not trying to say, oh, well, you know, the West isn't as good. That has nothing to do with it. I'm just saying, in general, we've been living in a West-dominated NBA for probably 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of starting to see that flip.
It could be.
As
it
does.
Could even out a bit.
It does. I mean, the 90s were all about the East.
Right.
Indiana, New York, Chicago.
Yeah. And also, there's a lot of... teams are starting to, from the West are starting to hit the rope in the East and vice versa. And as the schedule gets lengthened out, we'll see how the numbers get points out once they start to get ahead more.
Because there's a lot of long road trips to be had from both sides.
Mm-hmm. And then I'd like to say a shout out to the San Jose Sharks. We can come back to basketball here in a bit. But the Sharks have won 6 games in a row, and they're in first place in the Pacific. Martin Jones got first start of the week in the NHL for going 3-0 with like one goal per game. They had a big comeback win in Columbus. I want to see if I can pull up a couple of these highlights here because I love a Randy Hahn call. See if we got this one. This should be a tying goal for the Columbus game. It was a comeback. Come on, baby. Give it to me. Yeah, it's not going to work. If you make it, .com. But the Sharks have been up turmoil over the last couple of years when we had landed. Breaking down at the beginning of the season, but it would be nice to see them compete with this kind of fresher look.
Yeah.
So
wake me in April.
Wake you up in April. Now, we had a lot of big college football stuff go down this weekend. So I want to let you kind of get your, I want to let you go here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we've been kind of looking at this game for a while now. I remember you and I kind of touched on the Michigan State, Ohio State, the impending matchup. That just went down. I mean, it's not impending anymore, but when we were kind of looking ahead a couple of months ago, like who could knock off the Buckeyes, and I kind of posited that I thought the Spartans would be a good candidate to do that, and they were able to pull it off. You know, they only gave Ezekiel Elliott the ball 11 times, Heisman Trophy candidate. I'm not sure if he is anymore. Running back for Ohio, it was a wet game. Michigan State's starting quarterback was a game-time decision.
Right.
He could not go. Backup came in, actually played two quarterbacks in the first quarter, and then they wound up going with O'Connor, who ran the option exquisitely. And, you know, that Spartans defense, you know, save for the Nebraska fluke, they really kind of showed who they are. And I think that they're the class, all due respect to Iowa, I think they're the class of the Big Ten. And I think basically they've put themselves in. If they don't stumble against Penn State this upcoming Saturday, then, you know, you're looking at Michigan State in that top four.
Right. And I thought it was curious, Elliott's comments after the game.
I've never heard a college player ever call out his coach in the history.
Didn't it seem like a pro thing? Like that's what we're used to at the pro level.
Absolutely.
Nobody college does that.
I mean, I've been watching, you know, college sports for 30 years, 30 plus years, and I've never ever heard or seen that.
No, I was kind of... I kind of shook my head at it. He basically said that, yeah, I don't really know what the game plan was. I don't know why I wasn't getting the ball.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. He
called out Urban Meyer, the offensive coordinator.
And I know that, and then he said, like, you know, it's my last home game, you know, being like, I'm going to the NFL.
And the way he said it, he's like, there's no way I'm coming back here.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That's weird.
I mean, it just shows, you know, either a lot of immaturity. I mean, granted, he was upset because he saw the team's national title hopes pretty much go down out the window.
Right.
Unless, of course, you know, they're able to beat Michigan in Ann Arbor this weekend and, you know, Michigan State loses. So, you know, they still have a shot because if they do wind up somehow winning the Big Ten at 12-1, they're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Late season loss doesn't necessarily kill you, but they need help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need the Nittany Lions to win. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I had never seen it before. You know, I don't know if he just needed a little bit more time to just cool down, you know, after that loss. But, man, you know, especially a coach like Urban Meyer, who has so much respect, you know, both, I'm sure, in that locker room and just around college football.
Yeah, I mean, he's next to Nick Saban. He's
the best.
he's the biggest name that sport has in terms of success over the last decade.
No doubt.
Yeah. And I'm still, man, that the end of that Michigan game with the fluke punt, those guys are going to think about that all year. See what happens this week, though.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they'd be right in the middle of this whole national championship conversation.
If that punt didn't happen, Michigan would now control their own destiny.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know how many people they're returning next year, mm-hmm. but watch out for Harbaugh and the Wolverines next year because they are definitely a national championship contender.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, unless they lose, like, you know, incredible amount of starters. That I haven't looked at their roster recently, so.
It wasn't even his recruiting class.
Well, that's what I mean. Just wait till he gets some of his own guys in there.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
What else around the college football world put you on notice?
Well, we had some interesting developments down in the Big 12. The Cowboys lost. Oklahoma State lost to Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a shakeup. That might have been the Big 12's best chance of getting a representative in the college football playoff, having an undefeated team. There will be no undefeated team in the Big 12 this year.
I watched quite a bit of that game. Baylor definitely played well.
Yeah, no, Baylor's a good team. Yeah. That's the thing about when you play a round-robin schedule, which I tip my hat to, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, to the Big 12, that, you know, everybody plays everybody in that conference. So you don't skip anybody. Like, you know, I hats off to the SEC. It's a powerful conference. But it's like they don't, you know, not everybody plays everybody every year. So when you have Baylor playing Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and TCU, and vice versa on this whole round robin wheel that we've gotten on, it's just, it's hard to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get through undefeated. And they don't have a conference championship game either. So there's not that, like, big kind of spotlight game, that individualized spotlight game, you know, that you get, like, in December, like the other conferences have. So it might hurt them. I think their best chance is for Oklahoma to beat Oklahoma State this weekend and for Notre Dame to lose at Stanford.
That would be kind of cool. I'd like to see Notre Dame.
I can totally
down.
See that happening because the Cardinals are a good team. I mean, college football is so so fine as far as, like, the difference between some of these teams. I mean, you know, Stanford barely lost to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford barely lost in week one to Northwestern, who's a very good Big Ten team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're talking about a play or two, and Stanford's 11-0 right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Florida State, you know, fluke kickoff return. They could be, you know, a one-loss team in control of their own destiny. So, well, granted, they already played Clemson, so maybe that's out the window. But they might have gone into that Clemson game a little differently. Who knows? The point is, there's a lot of good teams out there. And, you know, like you said last week, we just got to 4. So I don't think we're getting to 8 anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see it expand to 8 because I think, you know, but the argument the whole time was when you had two teams in there, it's like, well, okay, who's number 3? Well, now we've just gone to who's number 5.
Right.
Whereas, like, I think if we get to who's number 9, I think that's a little bit less of a legitimate conversation.
Right.
And I also think the 8 would also open it up for maybe, like, if you have one of these teams, say, like, Grant Houston lost this weekend to UConn. My Huskies got it done at home in East Hartford. But, you know, like, those years that, like, the Boise States of the world mm-hmm. go undefeated. The Northern Illinois of the world. You know what I mean? Give them a shot. Let's get a little college basketball flavor in there.
Right.
Where we throw, like, a total dark horse in the mix.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they'll probably get smoked by Alabama or Clemson or whoever, but maybe they don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? And how cool would that be?
Any change to your Final Four predictions yet?
Oh, man. I'm not even sure if I remember. I think I picked Michigan State to beat Ohio State. So if that's the case, I'm looking pretty good.
Yeah, and I think
I had Clemson, Alabama, Michigan State, and Stanford, maybe?
Maybe it was Stanford.
Stanford's out.
Stanford's out.
So, I mean, unless, like, no, I mean, they're done.
Yeah, two losses.
Two losses at this point. Because if any two-loss team gets in there,
it'd be Michigan.
It'd be Michigan.
Yeah, because that means they would be beat.
There's still 11. There's 2 undefeated teams. Clemson, Iowa, there's 9 Power 5 1-loss teams.
Mm-hmm.
So many dominoes would have to fall. It's 1-2-2.
I kind of want, I actually really want Stanford to beat Notre Dame.
I do too.
I don't think Notre Dame is nearly as good as they're ranked. And I still think they get a lot of influence just because their helmets is Notre Dame.
Absolutely.
I just really don't think they're really good.
Well, and the other thing too is that they get to pick and choose who they play every year. They don't play a conference schedule. They have like a slight contractual obligation to play like 4 or 5 ACC teams now because their basketball program and other sports programs are ACC. I mean, first of all, that's ridiculous that it's from Indiana. It's an Atlantic Coast Conference. Okay, they should just pony up, join the Big Ten, and let's get rid of them. Because your natural rivalries are Purdue, Michigan, and Michigan State. You play them every year, or at least you have in the past. And you still have a chance to play USC or Stanford.
every year. You know what I mean? I mean, you have enough American Conference where you can fit in Navy. You have to be able to fit in all these games. Mm-hmm. But in turn, you're not going to have all these cupcakes. I mean, for crying out loud, they played UMass this year.
Right.
You know, they played Boston College. Granted, it was like Fenway Park, which I thought was really cool. But you know, Boston College is not an ACC powerhouse.
No.
They did play well at Clemson, but that was earlier in the year. Like, I think if they're on a field, neutral field, against Clemson, I think they get probably blown out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'd like to see them just, you know, college football in general needs to just get with the times. Okay, it's the only sport that I know of where there's still a committee that decides who's in. Let's have it be automatic qualification.
Mm-hmm.
You win your conference, you know, let's get it. You know, I think we should either pack more teams in these conferences, make it all uniform, all 16 teams, or we go back to the old school, where we have, like, the Southwest Conference, and we have, like, say, 10 conferences, but we have 8 of them. It's equal all across the board, and you play everybody in your conference, and if you win your conference, you get to go to the playoff. This whole idea of, like, a committee of people sitting in a hotel room in Texas really just bothers me, because that's what we were trying to get away from this whole time.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of wacky and backwards.
It is.
Yeah.
And I know that college football likes to hold on to their traditions. They like polls and they like bowl games. I'm not saying we got to get rid of polls and bowl games, but let's have automatic qualification.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You win conference, you're in.
Right. Absolutely.
And I don't care if you're 9-3.
Yeah.
Then you get the 8th seed or whatever.
Yeah.
You get seeded lower. No big deal.
Maybe someday.
Someday, Jay.
Someday.
Someday they'll listen.
Someday they'll listen. I'll send them a tape.
Send them a tape of this show right now and just be like, come on.
Let's recap the big awards in Major League Baseball. Mm. Got handed out.
Thanks for letting me rant, by the way.
Appreciate that. You know, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to listen. Bryce Harper is unanimous MVP. No shock there. Youngest ever to be unanimous. Josh Donaldson wins the MVP. Very deserving, I think. Had a great year.
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal.
Wow, that trade by Billy Beane looks even worse. I mean, they're...
Is this the end of Moneyball as we know it?
I don't know. People need to retire that phrase.
Yeah.
Because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, consider this. They traded Josh Donaldson, who had, like, I think 3 more years of club control. And, you know, which means that incrementally his pay is going to go up over that time span. But they just signed Rich Hill, 35-year-old journeyman from Boston, to a 1-year deal worth $6 million. You're telling me you could not have taken $6 million and added it to Josh Donaldson's salary as,
right.
You know, like things like that, they don't make sense.
No.
Like it does not make sense the way that he operates that team sometimes. And it looks worse than ever.
Yeah, no, it really does. I mean, but good for Donaldson.
Good for
the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're going to be good next year.
Quite a coup for them.
Yeah, they're not like one and done. I think they're definitely going to be relevant.
I do too. I do too. I look at that division. I think the Yankees, even though they snuck in the wild, not snuck in, but even though they were a wild card team, this, I don't think they're going to be as good next year.
No, they're heading down.
Baltimore's heading down. Tampa Bay's heading down. I do, and not to be too much of a homer, but I do like the way that Boston is shaping up for next season.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be better. They finished strong too.
Finished strong. They've got a great young outfield.
Yeah, and if they just continue to address their pitching needs, that's...
They need pitching needs, and then they need to figure out where Hanley Ramirez is going to play.
Just get rid of him.
I don't know. I think if he can make a transition to first base.
Poppy's final year coming up.
Ah, sad.
Yep, it had to come at some point.
It had to come.
Yep, he'll have a good farewell tour just like Jeter did.
Yeah. I think it was Jason Stark. I was watching Outside the Lines the other day, and you know, he kind of made a good point. Like, you know, I don't want to see this thing get too overdone. Though. You know what I mean? Like,
it will be.
You know, like these interleague cities, like, what are the Diamondbacks going to give them? A set of golf clubs? Like, you don't have any natural rivalry with Arizona.
No.
Like, I just want to see it limited to...
Set of golf clubs. That might happen.
No, that's totally, like, realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, what else would they give him in Scottsdale?
Here's a dinner plate.
Yeah.
Please, try the fish. The Cy Young Awards go Dallas Keuchel in Houston, very deserving. And then Arrieta sneaks in. Not sneaks in, but I think if Arrieta, even though he did amazing things, if he doesn't have a Chicago C on his hat, that award goes to Zach Greinke. I know Arrieta was great, and the way he finished the season was historic. But
so if it was a Cincinnati C,
I really think that Greinke got just a little bit of that cuss thing going on.
Huh.
Because Greinke was so great start to finish.
Yeah.
But the Dodgers actually make a decision this week, and they hire Dave Roberts as their manager, which I think is probably a good move.
Hmm.
And Preston, who is a KGFR programmer and a diehard Dodger fan, that's who he wanted.
Oh, okay.
He didn't want Gabe Kapler or Buddy Black. and Dave Roberts. So it's the first Latino manager I think Dodgers ever had, which is kind of bizarre, being the rich history of color they have in, you know, back from Brooklyn with Jackie Robinson to Fernando Mania, and obviously the huge Mexican-American culture down south. So kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
From a personal standpoint, I always remember him for stealing that bag.
Oh, yeah.
In the American League Championship Series. So yep. That one play, he's always got a free meal in Boston, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. That was, I remember watching that.
That was phenomenal.
I remember being on the phone with my buddy saying, literally on the phone as Rivera's pitching, well, it looks like Yankees closing this out.
Right.
And then a week later. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't the Cubs sweep the postseason? Or they got manager of the year, right? Joe Madden?
Joe Madden, yep.
Okay, and they got the Cy Young. But who was the rookie of the year in...
Rookie of the year was Chris Bryant. Was Chris Bryant, yeah.
So they got, okay.
Yeah, Matt Duffy was the runner-up. And the Cubs, as we've discussed, are, you know...
Future's bright.
They're going to be competitive. They just try to address some stuff that won't go away. I mean, you can't strike out that much and rely on the home run ball as much as they do. It's going to catch up with you in the postseason. But
I agree with you, though, what you said a couple weeks ago, where we just cannot expect that type of performance from Jake Arrieta again next year.
No, and I think he'll be good. I mean, he might have an ERA 2.5 next year and win 20 more games, mm-hmm. but there's no way he's going to go, you know, 17-0 from, you know, July on with a .5 ERA. That's just going to happen.
That was like the best of all time.
Yeah, yeah. This everybody has a career moment, and that was it. Yeah. I mean, maybe he'll do it in the postseason next year. Who knows? But he's not going to do that all year long. But, we're wrapping it up here on Say Hey. And, Noobs, what are you looking forward to in the coming week? We know we're psyched about watching Golden State hopefully beat down on the Lakers tomorrow.
I would love to see them. If they are going to get the record, definitely, you know, let's just hammer the Lakers. Nothing would make me happier than win. I'm looking forward to – I'm still totally on the college football train right now. Last week of the regular season for most of the teams, and then you have the conference championships the following Saturday. Mm-hmm. So there's still a lot to be played out. I mean, you know, Iowa's in the Big Ten championship, but there's still some things to be decided as far as Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. Michigan could actually still go to the Big Ten championship game.
Right.
And so, Alabama, Auburn, the Iron Bowl, even though the Tigers are down a little bit.
Right.
You know, they would love nothing more than to throw a wrench in the Crimson Tide's January plans.
That's what they live for.
That's what they live for. If they're not getting into themselves,
that's like almost as good as anything.
Absolutely.
I mean,
bigger than whatever bowl they would go to.
Yeah. No. I mean, anybody that's a fan of any team that has a true rival,
that is the best rivalry. I think
that's probably the most intense rivalry in college football,
next to Ohio State, Michigan.
Right. Right. I mean, that's having seen your rival eliminated is like exciting, and absolutely, it's even better when you do it.
Yeah,
like the loudest cheer I had in this season was the Dodgers being knocked out of the playoffs.
Right,
and the Giants had nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
but it was exciting for me.
Totally.
And they would feel the same way about watching the Giants get knocked out.
Exactly,
that's the way it works.
Yeah.
All right, Say Hey was made possible, of course, by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Buffalo Wild Wings. They're out there on East Avenue. 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HDTVs, non-stop sports wings. Open every day 11 a.m. till midnight. More information at buffalowildwings.com. And then we've got the 41st Annual Christmas Artisans Fair on December 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Silver Dollar Fairground. There will be over 65 artists and craftspersons from across the country starting at noon on December 4th and 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. There's free admission, parking, live local music, and more at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico. And we're going to get you ready for Peace Talks Radio, take you out a little spooky black, and then Grant will be in the other room.